on it, meditating on it. Amen. A good Bible word we've been using on this text and some thoughts, and feel like the Lord's led us tonight to preach to you about this. We'll see what the Lord will do for us. If you'll stand with us and ready to read God's word. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 11 and in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and camped against Jabesh Gilead. All the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. Nahash the Ammonite answered them, all this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes, and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. The elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Verse 4 said, then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? They told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. He took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever come not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, the men of Judah 30,000. They said of the messengers that came, listen this now, thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. They said to Nahash, we're going to spend 7 days seeing if there's a man that can come save us. Now the word has gone back to them, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. The messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh. And why wouldn't they be? The Bible said, and they were glad. Amen. Therefore, the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. It was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came in the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. It came to pass, and they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. That'll be our reading for tonight. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do pray now, Lord, as we gather in the house of God, in Jesus' name, that you would hear our prayer one more time. Lord, we know that in and of ourselves, that it is our flesh, and left to, Lord, our own experiences, Lord, there is no, Lord, no strength within us. And Lord, we need your help, Lord, in this evening. I pray, Father, that you would speak through us, take the word of God, and Lord, these truths that we have mind through this text, and Lord, that you've shared with us and showed us me. Lord, it be the encouragement that the people of God need in these days. Lord, I know these are trying times, perilous times. Lord, a lot of discouragement in our day, a lot of foes that we're fighting, a lot of enemies that have come against our hearts, our minds, our homes, and even the work of God. But Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, we realize where our help comes from, and Lord, seek it out with all our heart. Lord, I pray that you send the help that we need. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name again we pray. Amen and amen. The context in 1 Samuel chapter number 11, we understand that These are the days where Israel is going to be brought from the time of the judges into, and in fact, is already, that transition has already begun to start. As the nation of Israel had come to the man of God, Samuel, and asked of him that God would grant them a king to rule over them. All the men of the land, the man that was chosen and discovered to be their first king was this man by the name of Saul. Saul, prior to 1 Samuel chapter number 11, he has been selected. Samuel has anointed him in private, and there has begun to be an announcement of that throughout the land. And yet, when you come to chapter number 11, Saul, even in the text we read tonight, he's not necessarily sitting on the throne, he's the king, but he's still engaged in tending the herds and the flocks and working with his hands and doing a family business, no doubt, in this place called Gibeah. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, the text and the scene that we've read from tonight, this is an early battle, in fact, one of the first battles that Saul would find as king, the anointed one, there in the land of Israel, and is going to promote him after this battle, after this scene, that he is going to be embraced by the entire nation to be the king that is going to reign there in the land of Israel. And so we find this text is important that then to Saul and to his reign. It involves a particular group of people in the land of Israel known as Jabesh-Gilead. And tonight we're going to consider Jabesh-Gilead in this text in light of Saul and all that takes place in these 11 verses. I would say this tonight about Jabesh-Gilead when we even read that name and think about being deceived in Jabesh-Gilead is not very well known remark in Scripture. In fact, they don't come up a whole lot, a few times, and to be quite honest with you, as far as significant places and significant people, we'll find it really in much degree there are an insignificant group of people in the land of Israel. Yet we find them tucked away here in this text in a very tough situation in which God is going to send them some grace and some mercy and some help that they desperately need. There are things that have come against them in this text that they really need somebody to step in and do what they themselves cannot do. I find it interesting that Jabesh-Gilead, when you consider them and even their name, Jabesh means a dry place. Gilead simply means a perpetual fountain. And so Jabesh-Gilead represents the fact that God, a man, was to them a perpetual fountain in a dry land. I would say tonight, I would say this evening that, amen, I'm glad that our God gives and makes a perpetual fountain in our soul. Amen. Amen. And in our heart in a dry, dry land. Amen. In this text, we find that they have been through much prior to this text, but we can show that tonight. But what we find in 1 Samuel chapter 11 is they, amen, as a perpetual fountain, the fountain of God in a dry land, they need some assistance from a source that is greater than themselves. In the text we read tonight, the word is they encounter this foe, they try to make a compromise with him, amen, are interested in trying to find some sort of deliverance. The word, the message comes to Saul of Nahash and the Ammonites and what they plan on doing to this little band of God's people. And Saul gets angry, filled with the Holy Ghost, gets angry that the enemy is picking on an insignificant part of the people of God. And he's moved to an anger. He's moved to that friend, a passion that that we find that he begins to commit his crown and to use the authority that he has as the newly appointed and rightful king of Israel. Amen. Toward that of Jabesh Gilead, promising them help by the heat of tomorrow's day. Amen. I can see these messengers as they spin, it would appear to me that, amen, they have exhausted these 7 days for the ALD. That they are at the very end of the days of their respite and their truce, and the 7 days of their seeking help. And they have gone into the very last day when, as they weep and as they tell of what is getting ready to befall them. Amen. Saul stands up, calls others to join together and band together. Amen. So great was the number of them. We read in verse number 8, 330,000 men of Israel and men of Judah have shown out. Saul said, I tell you what you tell those that, amen, have exhausted all they know to use. Amen, have no strength to counter against the enemy that's come against him. Amen, I love what he told them. He said in verse number 9, tomorrow, by that time the sun be high, ye shall have help. So I will preach on the thought tonight. I think maybe I referenced this back with Brother Pace this year and some things we have looked at, maybe even on that week the Lord began since then to deal with our heart about. I will preach tonight for the Lord to help us tonight, amen, to help you on help for the heat of the day. Yeah. Amen. Saul said, I know where you're at. Amen. Saul said, I have heard your weeping. Amen. Saul says, I know the enemy that has come against you is great. Amen. I know that you feel like, amen, there's no way out of this situation. Amen. He said, but I'm giving you my word tomorrow. Amen. Before the heat of the day, before the day becomes the hottest. Amen. Understand, I'll be there and I'll have help. Amen. Giving toward your direction. I'm thankful that in the trials of life that we face it. Amen. We do have one tonight that, amen, is interested in sending you and I help. Amen. In the heat of the day and in the hottest of battles that we face and through the greatest enemies that we encounter, there is help. There is help. There is help. And so tonight, consider this thought, help for the heat of the day. Amen. Let me make my way down our text tonight and through our text this evening, if the Lord would help us. Amen. Number one, consider with me tonight in this text the heritage of Jabesh Gilead. The heritage of Jabesh Gilead. I would say tonight in my study of this text, it is important to understand that part of the reason, and in fact even much of the reason for Jabesh Gilead being in this tumultuous experience with Nahash and the Ammonites and the dread and the fear and the turmoil and what we're going to do experience it therein is due to the heritage that they have received. They're in this place because of things that have been passed down to them.
Yes.
And they themselves are not even necessarily responsible for. Amen. They have inherited, amen, certain weaknesses from the past. And from their heritage, from their lineage, from their fathers that have left them now in their text vulnerable to the foe. Amen. That has his eyes and their eyes set upon Jabesh Gilead. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me give you two things tonight about Jabesh Gilead and their heritage that is magnified in this experience with the enemy. Amen. You see, if the enemy had come against Jerusalem, it would not have been as great an experience for Jerusalem as it
was from Jabesh Gilead. Amen. And I thought about this, about Jabesh Gilead first. Think about that. Amen. Their heritage in regard to their surroundings. Amen. Their surroundings. Jabesh Gilead, you'll find, was of the half tribe of Manasseh that dwelt on that east side of Jordan. And Brother Jack, they had their inherited land. It was outside of Canaan. Amen. On that other side, you remember that Reuben, Gad, and had the tribe of Manasseh came unto Moses there as they was getting ready to. Amen. Come to the end of the days of Moses and then in the days of Joshua going to Canaan. And they found that land on the east side of Jordan to be a good land to raise their crops and to raise their cattle on that. And they came to Moses and said, we want to dwell here. And Moses, you'll remember, if you'll recall that account, I'll read it when you get home, that Moses got pretty ticked off at them about that decision that they were making. In fact, initially Moses said, no, no, no. Amen. God brought us out of Egypt and God brought us through the wilderness, and your brethren are going into Canaan's land, and you're going to go into Canaan's land too. And he accused him of, maybe discouraging the other tribes and doing again what had been done 40 years prior to Kadesh Barnea. And they came back and they said, now Moses, here's what we're going to do. And man, we're going to stay on the east side, but we'll build us some cities and some homes and some towns. And we'll make sure our wives and our children are kept safe and protected. And we'll go into Canaan and we'll fight and we'll help the other tribes to obtain the land and the inheritance. And Moses said, well, if you're going to go fight, then you can stay over here. Amen. And so Jabesh Gilead, boy, I got to hurry. Jabesh Gilead, amen. And so that half tribe of Manasseh, they decided, we're going to stay on the east side of Jordan. And so the land they inherited, what you'll find is outside of Canaan land. It was a despised land, and it was a defenseless land. They did not have some of the fortification that those tribes had decided to go all the way in the promised land had. And when they were divided and cut off from a lot of security, and now in this text, because of the surroundings and their forefathers had decided to live in, they have now been left vulnerable to this enemy, the Ammonites, Nahash, of the king of the Ammonites. You'll find on the bank in Judges that they had already had a run-in with the Ammonites. In the days of Jephthah, the judge over Israel, then the Gileadites came to Jephthah and said, we need you to help us conquer the Ammonites. And they camped against us. Jephthah said, amen, our only way out of new man is by being Lord over you and ruled over you. And they said, it can be according to your word. If you can win them, we'll follow your lead. And Jephthah, the first thing he did was send word to the king of the Ammonites. Amen. The Ammonites had said, you took this land from our fathers, and indeed they had. Amen. And the Ammonites said, we're going to take back what you stole from us. And Jephthah sent word down there to them and said, amen, you remember them days Israel was headed to Canaan's land, and we asked to come through, and your king said no. And Moses requested safe passage on the king's highway. And y'all treated us like a bunch of strangers and denied us easy passage. And then in our vulnerable state, your king came out to take hold upon the people of God, and God strengthened us. And Moses and those and those men of Israel in that time conquered your people. Amen. And said, God gave us this land when you decided to come against us. And that friend, that was indeed their inheritance. And God gave it to them. It may not have been the ideal situation. Amen. Maybe they should have gone all the way, but Jack came and came in there. Amen. But they have now been left with surroundings that have left them vulnerable to this enemy. Amen. I think about there's some things we've inherited. Amen. From the flesh and from Adam and things that, amen, and according to the natural man surroundings, amen, we have that and leave us vulnerable to the enemies that are out to get us. How the world, the flesh, and the devil plays upon, amen, those spiritual surroundings of the endemic nature, amen, to come against us and draw us into sin, and draw us into discouragement, and draw us after him into a state of hopelessness. Amen, we just inherited some things that, amen, have left us in a weak and a vulnerable condition. Amen. Not only their surroundings, but in 1 Samuel chapter number 11, we see the heritage of Jabez Gilead in their smallness. There's another story in the book of Judges in the end of the book, and I don't have time to preach on this, but there was an event that took place with some sons of Belial out of the tribe of Benjamin. And they had abused the young lady and taken advantage of her. And the story goes, and word began to spread of what those men had done. And it was such a vile thing, and it was such a wicked thing and an unnatural thing. And Israel rose up in anger against the tribe of Benjamin. Brother Larry, the nation of Israel began to call for men to come out of all the tribes. And the men of those tribes went down to Benjamin, and they slew every man that was in Benjamin. It's a gruesome scene. And the nation of Israel didn't take joy in that. It absolutely broke their heart. And that kind of sin had gone on in that. It had to be so severe in the way that they had dealt with it. After all that blood was shed, they all, and then they called for an assembly of all those tribes that had to go deal with that. And they left there saying, we need to do something for the daughters of Benjamin. Amen. We don't want there to be a tribe lost to the people of God. And so they began to assemble and worship and make vows to God. And all of a sudden, again, looking around, they said, somebody is missing. Amen. Somebody didn't show up to the war to deal with sin. Amen. Somebody didn't engage and join us in the vow. And we had made with God, and lots began to be cast, and it fell. Amen. The Bible said in Judges chapter 21, and there was not a man of Jabez Gilead and had assembled themselves with the people of God. And so the nation of Israel said, amen, get your swords back home. And they went down to Jabez Gilead and in those days they said, we'll kill every man of Jabez Gilead. And they went down, they killed all the men, and they killed all the women that had known men. Amen. There's only 400 virgin women. The Bible said they knew not a man whose lives were spared on that day. You say, preacher, boy, that's awful severe. Amen. You better believe it, that. Amen. I mean, they literally nearly wiped out an entire group of people. Amen. Because of a compromise they made in not dealing with sin. Y'all hang on, I'm going somewhere. It's a little dark right now, but we're saying the fact. Amen. And so when we come to 1 Samuel chapter 11, we're not too far removed from that event. Amen. We're removed enough that I believe we can say that, amen, through the time and some time that had passed, amen, they have been able to repopulate some. Amen. But now they've been left reduced to a very small number. They're not as large as they used to be. And may I say this evening in regard to this, amen. And this is what happens when we compromise with sin. Amen. Compromise is when spiritually weak, it leaves us spiritually vulnerable, amen, for weeks and years of our life. Amen. And so many enemy mad friends coming against him. Amen. They simply inherited this. This is not the fault of the generation of Jabez Gileadites. Brother Jesse in 1 Samuel 11. Amen. It's just part of the heritage they received. It's what others have done that has left them small. In their smallness, the enemy has come against them. And so what I'm trying to preach tonight and I expose tonight, amen, it's not necessarily the fault, amen, of this generation that is in Jabez Gilead, amen, but in their heritage and what they've received from others have left them in a place where they need some help.
Right.
They're not big enough. They're not in the right kind of positioning where they can fend off such a great foe that has come against you. Number two, consider the hazard of Jabez Gilead. We find that in this text, it's not hard to identify. And when the Bible said, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabez Gilead. And man, he didn't come to be their friend. He didn't come down there, man, friend, to see if he could be of assistance to them. He came down there as their foe, as their adversary, and he came down there to bring hardship and hazard, amen, to Jabez Gilead. And man, literally his job to try to reclaim what the people of God stole from him and his people many, many years before. And so there is a hazard that is here. Consider some things in our text briefly about this hazard. I see the rising of the hazard in verse number 1. I notice here in this text, in speaking of the one that has come against and led the Ammonites, it is this king of the Ammonites. His name is Nahash. Nahash, I found it interesting, Brother Moe, that his name means a serpent. He is a type and a picture of our adversary, amen, that great dragon, another than the devil himself. Amen, he has caught them, man, friend, and come against him, amen, in their surroundings and in their smallness, amen, to try to bring hazard and hardship, amen, to them. The hazard of these people of God is seen in the rising of the serpent against them. Amen, they're just doing the best they can. Amen, they're just trying to do the best they can with what they've been given. Amen, they're trying to make the best out of a bad heritage that has been passed down to them. Amen, what a wicked, what a ruthless, amen, bully of a king Nahash was. Amen, to pick on such a weak, vulnerable people. Amen, may I say, that's the way the devil is tonight. Amen, he don't take us on in our strings. Amen, he doesn't take us on when we're really walking in the might and the power of God. Amen, he knows that he's no match for the people of the Lord. Amen, when we're standing strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen, but let's be honest, there are days we are vulnerable. There are days our weakness shines through. There are days when he's just waiting on the right time. Amen, that's what Nahash did then. Nahash the Ammonite came up. Amen, the word then is an indicative of attack. Amen, indicative that he was waiting on the right opportunity. Amen, and he caught them and rose up against them such as the devil does. Amen, I find it interesting in the rising of this answer of Nahash and the Ammonites. Amen, Lord, I got to get to what I want to pray. Amen, this hazard their initial response is to invoke a small compromise with the enemy. Amen, here's what Jabez said unto Nahash. Make a covenant with us, and we will serve with thee. In other words, we know that we're no match for you. We know that we can't fight against you. You'll make us out, you'll knock us down, you'll destroy us. And we're not big enough, we're not strong enough. Oh, we're at a loss when it comes to defense and security. And so their initial response was, we'll just make a small compromise. Amen. If you'll promise not to kill us, amen, we will serve thee. We'll give you a part of our life. We'll give you a part of our heart. Amen. Oh, may I say, amen, what a terrible response to make. Amen. What a terrible response to have toward the enemy. Amen. Can I say tonight to every child of God? Amen. Don't try to make compromise with the devil. Amen. Don't try to compromise with the foe. Amen. If anybody should know, amen, they of all people know, and compromise only gets you in trouble. There the crowd did. Amen. Even the people of God had to stand against and say, amen, because you didn't deal with sin and you didn't help us stand against it and rid it out of the country. Amen. And because of that compromise, amen, they have been reduced. They have been judged. Amen. They have been dealt with harshly. And now somehow, I guess it's just human nature, and we think if we'll make a little compromise and things won't go so bad for us. Let me tell you something about the enemy tonight. Amen. You make a little compromise with the enemy, you'll have to keep compromising. It won't be long. You won't even be able to be noticed as a child of God anymore. Amen. Amen. That had never satisfied me. Has. Amen. That had never been enough for him. Amen. That had never. He had always wanted a little bit more out of him. Amen. The rising of the hazard. Notice the reproach in the hazard. Amen. They have sinned on this condition. When I make a covenant with you that I may thrust out all your rabbis and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. Amen. Quickly tonight, the enemy hears with it. Amen. The enemy says, I tell you what. Amen. I will make a covenant with you on one condition. I won't kill you only if, amen, only if you'll let me fulfill my desire. And what did he desire? He desired their suffering. He desired their sight. And ultimately, he desired their shame. Amen. He said, I'm going to pluck out your rabbi. Amen. And that's going to be for a reproach against Israel. And you imagine walking into a town. And you imagine walking in, traveling in as a stranger to Newport, Tennessee. And every business you go into and every individual you encounter. Amen. Every place of business that you frequent. Everybody in that town is missing their right eye. That's what the enemy said we want to do to you. We want your right hand. Amen. We want to hinder your sight. We want to affect your perception. We want to inflict suffering upon you. And at the end of the day, what we really desire is the shame of the people of God. Now, Satan had that's the desire of our enemy. Amen. That's what the devil wants out of all God's people. Amen. And I know Jesus said the thing coming for me to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. But may I say, amen, he don't want to kill you on your own sin. Amen. What he really desires is to make you suffer. All he really desires, one preacher said, amen, what one preacher said about this text is that he desires, Brother L, to make a freak out of all of us. He wants to make a freak. He wants to make a spiritual freak out of us. And ultimately, he wants us left in shame. Amen. He wants us back then to walk around with our head down, dragging our tracks out, in bondage to him, in slave to him, and serving him. Amen. The reproach that is in this answer. Amen. Number three, consider the respect. Amen. From the hazard as the enemy comes against him. Amen. Jabez Gilead received from Nahash the Ammonite. a 7-day timeline of that at the end will result in the fulfillment of the enemy's plan against them. Amen. In 7 days, thank God, 7 days. Amen. To try to find some sort of savior. They've got 7 days of a truce that's been called. And the enemy says, I think he's calling me full. Up until I think he may have his mind, he's thinking. 7 days have never been long enough to form an army. 7 days have never been enough time to find somebody to come down here and deliver me up. In 7 days. Amen. They'll spend them days weeping. They'll spend those days worrying. They'll spend those days fretting. They'll spend those 7 days consumed with what we're going to do with them. Amen. And yet the respite from the answer. Amen. They had 7 days to find someone to save them. Notice what they said. Give us 7 days respite. And we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then, notice what they said. If there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Amen. They said all we need. Now what they're saying there is a couple things. Number one, since what they are admitting is, we are in such a shape right now that we can't save ourselves. You ever been there? Have you ever experienced that in life? Where you said, there ain't nothing Ledbetter can do about this. Right. There's nothing I can do to save myself. If there's going to be any saving, if there's going to be any deliverance, it's going to have to come from someone else and is stronger than I am. There is an admission there. Amen. They cannot save themselves. Amen. And so in this admission, amen, notice there is also an admission, amen, that they are aware of that. Amen. They don't need a lot of help. Notice what they said. We will see if there be a man. One man. I believe, Brother Chad, they were acquainted with them days of the judges. Amen. Men like Samson and God had raised up one man to whip the entire army and ship, and one man that would stand as a deliverer and as a judge. And they are saying, God has done it before, and God can do it again. Amen. We're going to wait and see. They weren't banking on an army. Brother Mike, they weren't banking on all the nation of Israel coming to their aid. Amen. There is in this respite the idea that we only need one man and has the power and the touch of God on him to help us. Amen. So they're just looking for one good man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, you say, preacher, you preach 24 minutes, 27 minutes about all of that. You said this preaching on the help for the heat of the day. Well, let me give it to you quick. Maybe we'll come back and elaborate on it. Amen. Some other time. The help of Jabez Gilead. Amen. It's the messengers carrying the tidings for help. May I say that help was found in one by the name of Saul of Gibeah. Amen. Help was found in their brand new king. Amen. Prior to this, they had no king. Amen. Prior to this, there was no king in the land of Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Amen. But now they have a king. And now, because they have a king, there is help. Amen. If they're going to find in him. I wrote this down in verse 3. They were aware of their need for a man to save them. Notice with me in verse 4, they found a man, the one who could. Amen. They know and are aware of their need, but amen, in verses 4 down through verse 11, amen, they found the one who could. They spent six or seven days, amen, trying to find him. I'm sure they met a lot of good men. I'm sure they ran into a lot of valiant men. I'm sure they encountered some warriors and soldiers and champions, but amen, no one can help them until, amen, word got to the king, we're in a bad way. Amen, and their awareness and their need for one to save them, amen, was met, amen, by the one who could. Amen, I know in several things in this text, amen, about the help for Jabez and of Jabez Gilead. And they found in Saul, who is a type in this story and in this text of King Jesus. Ain't you glad that when we can't help ourselves? Ain't you glad when we go with the mighty and to the strong and to our heroes? And yet that friend, we can't find help in them. I'm glad tonight there is help in King Jesus. Amen, there's one on the throne that, amen, we can always find help in. Amen, let me give you some things about Saul. And I think are a good picture of the help that we find in Jesus. Amen, number one, I know he meant Saul in this case. He was the sympathetic one. Amen, he's coming up out of the field. As he's coming up out of the field, he hears a weeping. He hears a wailing. He comes up on the scene. A man friend of a river of tears has been wept. Amen. He doesn't, that friend, go about his business. He doesn't turn a callous shoulder in that direction. He ain't too busy to pause for a moment. Amen. And say and inquire what in the world is going on. Oh no, friend, in all that he has going on. Amen. All the herds that he is watching. Amen. The Bible said, amen, that they told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept, and behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, don't miss it now, what aileth thee, people, that they weep? Do y'all see a sympathetic king? I see one that said, it bothers me that they're weeping. Yeah. I don't even know what they're weeping about. That Saul, from an earthly standpoint, he said, I don't know what they're weeping about. But those are not tears of joy. The question, Brother Tim, is what aileth the people? Amen. That word aileth, amen, would imply, amen, that he knows something has sickened them. And something has affected them deeply. Amen. And so we find that Saul is the sympathetic one. Amen. The Bible said, and they told him the tidings of the men of Jabez. Amen. Friend, when he heard about what Nahash and the Ammonites had planned to do, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came on Saul. And he got moved because the people were moved about their situation. I wrote it down this way, that Saul was moved by what moved those who were in need.
Amen.
I tell you, Jesus is moved by what moves you.
Amen.
I ain't going to finish this and preach this and have it for a minute. But Brother Larry, I see in Saul the wondrous picture of my Savior. Amen. How many days do we weep because of a situation? How many days do we weep because of our surroundings and our smallness? And the enemy is there. And we try maybe to make a compromise on the love. And that compromise is going to cost us. And we're living, as it were, between a rock and a hard place. I'm glad I never went before the throne of grace and weeping. And that friend in my heart heavy and my soul burning down. Amen. Found that. Amen. A hardened and a callous Savior. Amen. Unsympathetic and uncaring to my need. Oh no, Saul said, what aileth the people? Amen. Tell me about what they're going through. I'm glad I've got a Savior that's interested in hearing about what I'm doing. Amen. Hey, when you say, what do you call that? I call him the sympathetic one. Amen. And what moves me moves him. Amen. I wrote this down, no matter who they were, no matter where they were at, and no matter what they had done, Saul was impassioned by their cry.
Yes.
kingdom of Israel. Amen. In fact, I imagine, Brother Larry, that when people talk about Jabez Gilead, all they thought were a bunch of compromisers. Amen. That crowd living on the wrong side of Canaan. Amen. No doubt they were some. Amen. They were some of the stigma attached. Amen. In the eyes of men their way. Amen. There's probably some said, amen, when y'all get over here with the other half of your tribe, amen, you wouldn't be in the shape you're in. Amen. There's probably some that, amen, when the word came out, but it did something to Saul. Amen. Saul didn't care who they were. Amen. Saul, man, friend, didn't hold against him. Amen. Things that they had done. And Saul, man, friend, didn't even care where they were at. Amen. They had a need. And when they had a need, he was the sympathetic one that said, tell me what you're going through.
Amen.
Amen. He got more stirred up about what they was going through than they were.
Yes.
Amen. Full of the Holy Ghost and mad as a junkyard dog. Somebody say, I said, well, if you're spirit filled, you always love you, grace, love you all over the place. Saul got filled with the Holy Ghost and got ticked off.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And we need some of that in this day.
Amen.
Amen. We need some of that in this day. I wish I had more tears. I'm praying. It seems like the older I get, Lord, say we have more tears. But, amen, listen, we don't. We sometimes just need to get full of the Holy Ghost and get mad about
something. Yeah.
Amen. What does that show? It shows that he is sympathetic about what they're going through.
Yes.
You know what we need tonight? Amen. We need to go to King Jesus and say, we sure do need some help.
Amen.
Tell him what you feel. Amen. Tell him about what you're going through. You say he already knows. Yeah, but hey, something about when you tell him what you're going through that moves him. And when you express your emotion to him, it impassions him to your cry, to your need. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the help for the heat of the day comes from the sympathetic one.
Yes, man.
Boy, I got more. I'd love to preach. But I'm done. Amen. Amen. Saul was a sympathetic one. Ain't you glad?
Yes.
Got a sympathetic spirit.
Yeah.
We'll look at it. I got three more. I'm going to preach all 10 in another service sometime. Amen. He's the sovereign one. Amen. Y'all, let me just throw it out to you. He's the sovereign one.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, where you see that? He's the king. And he orchestrated and organized others to get involved and send help to that crowd. Only the king can do that.
Yeah.
He's the sovereign one. Oh boy, I couldn't wait to preach this. And Saul was not only the sympathetic and sovereign, he was the speaking one.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you want me to give this to you, Brother Jack, to help us tonight? You know what he did when he heard what they was going through? He got all that band together. He said, all right, now you go tell them tomorrow. Now, wait a minute, they need help today. That's right. Anyway, he said, tomorrow, about that time the sun's hot, ye shall have help. I don't miss it now, Brother L. They do need help today. I'll admit that. But the word of assurance that he gave about tomorrow was their help for today.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Woo! Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm glad and may God glad. You say, preacher, God ain't done nothing today. Did he give you a word he was going to?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The word and the assurances that he gives about tomorrow, we got a Bible full of them.
Amen.
Is our help for today.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He's the speaking one. May I say Saul was the strong one.
Yeah.
Amen. I preach that out. Amen. He ain't just running his guns. He ain't just talking a big shot. He ain't just talking a big game. And he said, hey, tomorrow I won't show up. I won't help. And then not show up. Or worse than that, show up and then get his tail whipped.
Yeah.
Oh, no. When he showed up to help, he said help.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. He whipped him so bad. Brother Mark, he whipped him so bad. The Bible said when Saul got done whipping on them, the enemy was so defeated, they wasn't two could stand together. He run them so bad. Every man felt like the enemy felt like they was in it all by themselves.
Right.
I'm glad I know the strong